Let's just unite our hearts together, please, in a word of opening prayer. We seek the Lord. Eternal God and our Father, we thank Thee this morning for the joy, the privilege that's ours to come into Thy presence, to address Thee as our Father. And, O God, we pray that today You'd be pleased to come and presence Thyself with us, Lord, in a very real and particular way. O God, we need Thee today. Lord, may we, Lord, know with assurance that Thou art here. Bless us, O God. May we hear the voice of the Lord. May we feel Thy presence. Do our hearts good. And Lord, we will give Thee all the praise and all the glory, for Thou alone art worthy. Hear and answer prayer. In the Savior's name we pray. Amen. Let's commence by singing the words of hymn number 425, 425, pages 348, if you want to follow in your hymn books, or the words will be on the screen. What though clouds are hovering o'er me, and I seem to walk alone, longing mid my cares and crosses for the joys that now are flown. We'll stand together as we sing this opening hymn, please. Let's still our hearts again, please, in prayer. And we come to the Lord and ask for His help and His presence with us this Lord's Day morning. Eternal God and our Father, we come to Thee today. And Lord, we thank Thee for each one in this meeting that we can say that we have Jesus, Jesus only. We thank Thee, Lord, for that moment in our life's experience when we were taken out of the darkness of our sin. We thank Thee, Lord, for that time when our eyes were opened to behold the loveliness and the beauty of our Savior. We saw in him, Lord, the fairest of 10,000 to our souls. We saw in him the only refuge for our sin-sick souls. And Heavenly Father, we thank thee today for each one in this meeting who's saved. We praise thee, O God, today, Lord, that we have a treasure greater than this world can ever give us. And thank God today we have something this world can never take away from us. We praise thee, O God, that you've given to us eternal life, and we shall never perish. We rejoice, O God, this morning in the joy of sins forgiven, the assurance, O God, of peace with God, and, Lord, that home in heaven. Lord, we thank thee for all that we have in Christ and because of Christ. We thank thee, Lord, that there on the cross of Calvary, he paid the price for our sin. Lord, he settled that debt, he paid it in full. We praise thee, O God, today that we're resting, not in a church, Lord, not in ourselves, Lord, not in any confession or any creed. We thank thee, Lord, today that our boast is all in Christ. And Heavenly Father, we thank thee for the one who made that full and perfect, Lord, satisfaction of the law of God on our behalf. Lord, the one who did that which we could never do. And Heavenly Father, we thank thee, Lord, that it is because of the Lord Jesus Christ today that we go out free. We thank thee, Lord, today for every blessing, Lord, you've given to us in salvation. Lord, truly we can say, Lord, for all the Lord has done for me, I never will cease to praise him. But, Lord God, we thank thee as well that you've not only saved us, but, Lord, you've kept us. Lord, you've kept your hand upon us, Lord, right until this very moment. We thank thee, Lord, through every good time and through every hard time. Lord, the presence of the Lord has been known. Lord, we've felt thee. Lord, we've known the help of the Lord throughout every moment of our lives. We thank thee, Lord, you've said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And Heavenly Father, we thank thee, Lord, that we can trace the hand of God in our lives, Lord, right from the moment of our salvation. Lord, we thank thee for bringing us to the hand to the house of God today. We thank thee, Lord, for journeying mercies. We thank thee, Lord, for health and for strength. We thank thee, Lord, today that we are here, the living, to praise thee. We thank thee, O God, today that we have that desire to worship thee. And Heavenly Father, we pray that as we come into the house of God today, as we come into thy presence, O God, we pray that you'll thrill our hearts, do our hearts good. We pray, Lord, that there will be that word in season to every waiting heart. Lord, we realize today, Lord, that in this congregation there are a multitude of needs. Lord, there are those who need that touch emotionally. Lord, there are those who need that touch physically, those who need that touch spiritually. But, O God, we thank thee today, Lord, that every need is met in Christ Jesus. And Heavenly Father, we pray that you'll be pleased to come and, Lord, speak to every heart. Lord, for those today who are still unsaved and still out of Christ, Lord, with no thought, Lord, after their eternal soul, O God, we pray that you'll save them this day. Lord, take them, Lord, away from themselves, and Lord, bring them to thyself, O God, we pray. Lord, make this a crowning day in their lives, when by faith they will trust thee. Lord, they'll call upon thee in salvation. And O God, we pray that this day, Lord, you'll come and visit us with salvation. Remember, Lord, this area. We pray, Lord, for this community. We pray, Lord, for Ballyhackamore. We pray, Lord, for the entire east of this city. O God, we cry unto thee today. Come and move, we ask of thee. Lord, take away the indifference and the apathy. O God, we cry unto thee today that there will be that sound of abundance of rain. Lord, just as we've experienced, Lord, the physical rain, we've seen the showers, we've seen the floods. O God, we cry unto thee for the floods of spiritual blessing upon a dry and a barren land. O God, open the windows of heaven, we pray. Pour your Spirit out upon us, O God, we ask of thee. Lord, we are poor and needy. Yet, O God, we thank thee that you think upon us. Think upon us today for good. Lord, send the showers of revival, O God, we pray. Lord, not only for our capital city, but across our land, we pray. Across our nation, we pray, Lord, you'll turn us. Lord, you'll bring us, Lord, back to thyself, O God, we pray. We ask, O God, for we who know and love thee. We pray, Lord, you'll revive us in our living for the Savior. We ask, O God, that you would be pleased, Lord, to come and do something new amongst us, we ask of thee. Lord, take us away, Lord, from the coldness, Lord, that we're in. And Lord, set our hearts on fire for the Savior once again. We acknowledge our failures. Lord, we know our faults. Lord, they're all known to thee. But, O God, we thank thee today that if we confess our sins, Lord, that thou art faithful, just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Therefore, O God, we pray, give us those clean hands, that pure heart, Lord, as we would seek to ascend the holy hill of Zion this day. Be with us, O God, we pray. We thank thee for each head bowed in thy presence. We thank Thee, Lord, for the mercies of God extended to us today. Remember, Lord, those who cannot be with us today. Remember those who are on holiday at this time. We pray, Lord, that You'll give them a time of refreshing and revive them in their own lives physically and, Lord, spiritually as well. We pray, Lord, today for those who are no longer able to join with us because of old age or infirmity. We pray, Lord, You'll watch over, Lord, those who were so faithful in days gone by. May they know the blessing of God in their own lives and, Lord, in their homes or in nursing home, wherever they are today. Lord, we pray that You'll watch over them and keep Your hand upon them for good. Remember, Lord, those who are unwell. We just pray, Lord, You'll touch them in their bodies. We ask, O God, that You'll strengthen them. Lord, we thank Thee for Sophie being back home again. We just pray, Lord, You continue to watch over her. And Lord, give her that strength, Lord, that she needs. And Heavenly Father, we pray that You would draw very near to her. And Lord, those who are unwell in their own homes as well, just be near to them, we pray. Remember, Lord, those who are cold and careless. Lord, those who have wandered away from the things of God. Lord, those who today have no thought, Lord, to be in the house of the Lord. Those who once walked well with Thee, yet today they've left their first love. O God, we pray that wherever they are and whatever they're doing, Lord, draw them back to Thyself. Lord, we pray that You'll bring them to an end of themselves. Lord, make them sick with their sin. And Lord, bring them, O God, to that place of repentance. And Lord, bring them back to the Father's house. And Heavenly Father, we thank Thee today that there's always a welcome there. And our Father, we pray that You would be pleased to restore the backslider at this time, we pray. We pray, Lord, You'll bless the work of the congregation, Lord, in the weeks and months that lie ahead. Remember us, Lord, especially, Lord, in summer camp as it starts tomorrow morning. We ask, O God, for Your blessing, Lord, right from the very start of camp to the very last meeting on Friday evening. We pray, Lord, for a very real sense of Thy presence. Bless the young people, Lord, as they will gather. We ask, O God, that they will come with hearts prepared. Lord, we pray that You'll speak to each and to all. And Lord, for those that are saved, Lord, lead them on with Thyself. And Lord, for those that are not saved, we pray, Lord, that even this week of summer camp will be that time, Lord, when You'll speak into their hearts and bring them to Thyself, we pray. Remember Kyle and Anna. Pray for all the workers, Lord, as they would give of their time this week to spend, Lord, with the young people, being with them, teaching them, instructing them. Oh God, we pray that You'll encourage their hearts and bless their lives, we pray. Keep each one safe. Remember our sister Joyce especially. Lord, bless her as she would teach the missionary story every morning. And Lord, bring the Word of God every night. Oh God, we pray that be unto her all that she would need. And give her, Lord, that joy of seeing young ones brought to the Savior. Oh God, we just cry unto Thee. Save this week, we pray. Save the young people. Oh God, we cry unto Thee for that generation, Lord, that's growing up. Oh God, we pray that You be pleased to keep them from the things of this world. And Lord, save them for Thyself, O God, we pray. So hear and answer prayer. Continue on with us now. Help us, O God, as we would further worship Thee. And Lord, may our praise be acceptable in Thy sight, O God, we pray. And Lord, that everything will be to the glory and to the honor of our great God. Hear and answer prayer. In the Savior's name we pray. Amen. Amen. We're turning in the Word of God this morning to the book of Psalms, please. Book of Psalms and to the Psalm number 119. Psalm 119. Psalm 119. We're going to read just one of these sections. And we're going to read from verse 65. Psalm 119. And the verse 65, just reading the section down to the end of verse 72. Psalm 119, and the verse 65. Thou hast dealt well with Thy servant, O Lord, according unto Thy word. Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I have believed Thy commandments. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept Thy word. Thou art good and doest good. Teach me Thy statutes. The proud have forged a lie against me, but I will keep Thy precepts with my whole heart. Their heart is as fat as grease, but I delight in Thy law. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn Thy statutes. The law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. Amen. May the Lord be pleased to bless this reading of his word to all of our hearts. Can I, at this stage, bid you all a warm and sincere word of welcome along to our morning worship service. We're glad to see you in the house of the Lord today, and we pray the Lord will bless us and meet with us around his word. It's good to be back with you after a time of being away, and we're glad to be back with you. We want to share with you a little of what we experienced while we were in Uganda. We're not going to do it today, but we're going to keep that for one of our prayer meeting nights. So on Tuesday, the 8th of August, we will speak, Kirsten will speak as well, and share with you some of our experiences while we were there in Uganda. So remember that Tuesday, the 8th of August, as we report on our time there in Uganda. But we thank you for your prayers. The Lord was good to us. The Lord watched over us. And we had a good time, a blessed time. We were away with a great bunch of young people of whom we should be very, very proud. And we're thankful for the group of young people that we had with us on the trip. And we're thankful for the Lord's hand of blessing in salvation. Six young people were counseled for salvation while we were there. And others we know as well were concerned and troubled about their soul. So we thank you for your prayers, and it is good to be back with you. It's good to see the Reverend Thomas Martin and his dear wife June. Glad to have you both with us today, and thank you for being with us today. We pray the Lord will bless you, even as you are at this time of holiday. Can I remind you just of some of the meetings throughout this week? They are few in number, really, here in the church anyway. But do remember, we have our gospel service tonight at 6:30. Please come back and join with us tonight at 6:30. We'd love to see you back again. Make it a habit of coming twice on the Lord's Day. Come back again tonight, 6:30, for our gospel service. Do remember the season of prayer as well beforehand at 6 p.m. We were hoping to have our brother Philip Bowles, to sing. He's on holiday too, and he was going to come tonight, but he has got car trouble this morning, so I'm not sure if he's going to make it tonight or not, but hopefully he'll be here. But we want you to be here tonight and come and join with us for our gospel meeting at 6:30. And do remember, summer camp starts tomorrow morning. The young people will meet down at Delamont Country Park for the week of residential camp at 9:30 tomorrow morning, and all the prayer needs were brought before you on Tuesday night by Kyle and Anna, and we want you to remember camp in your prayers. Remember the young people as they gather week after, or night after, day after day. Remember Kyle and Anna, pray for all the workers, pray for our sister Joyce as she teaches the young people in the camp this year again. So let's be much in prayer for summer camp, that the Lord would just undertake, and that the Lord would be pleased to save young people this week at summer camp. Do remember the final meeting on Friday night at 6:30 down at the camp centre there at Delamont, and you'd be more than welcome to join with the young people and the camp workers for that meeting on Friday night at 6:30. If you need any directions or any help, do let us know. But do remember that final meeting on Friday night at 6:30, and you are all invited along to attend that meeting. Then we have our own Bible study and prayer meeting here in the church on Tuesday night at 8 o'clock, God willing. On Saturday morning at 11:15, 10:45, we have the annual open-air witness at the Solemnite Parade that's taking place in our city on Saturday, and we want to hold the gospel witness again this year. So that will be on Saturday morning at 10:45. We're meeting here at the church for 10:15 and travelling down in the bus. So if you would want to come that way, then you're more than welcome. Meet here at the church for 10:15 on Saturday morning. Please do remember that. We'd love to see as many as possible come and stand with us in the open air for that witness against sin and for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Then the services next Lord's Day, 11:30 and 6:30, both of those services preceded by the half hour of prayer, and I will be here, God willing, to bring the word of God. Do remember those who continue to need our prayers. I know you've been praying much for our sister Sophie Crawford over these past number of weeks. Glad to be able to report that she got home yesterday after 4 very long weeks in hospital, and we want to to thank you for your prayers for Sophie. Continue to pray for her, that her recovery will be swift. And pray the Lord will keep his hand upon Sophie, even as she is back home again. We'd also ask you to continue to pray for our sister Maureen Ewing, who went into hospital this week for a knee replacement operation. She's back home again, and do remember her in your prayers. So we announced a few weeks back, just before we went away, we're having a church day out for everybody of all ages. That's down to Dublin Zoo on Saturday, the 16th of September. And so if you're planning to go, and I trust you are, then we want you to see our church secretary, Brother John Kennedy. Please get your name down so that we can make final arrangements for that. So that's Saturday, the 16th of September, travelling down to the zoo there at Dublin. If you've never been to Dublin Zoo, it's well worth a day out. It's a very good zoo, and hopefully they'll let some of us back out again. But it is good. It'll be a good day out, and I trust that you're able to make that effort to go and have that day out with the rest of the church family. Do remember, the offering boxes are available as you leave for your offerings and for your tithes. We make, as always, these announcements subject to the will of the Lord. We're going to sing another hymn together at this stage. It's a hymn not in our hymn book, but a hymn that we sing from time to time. He will hold me fast. When I feel my faith will fail, he will hold me fast. We'll stand together once we get the introduction and sing this hymn, please. Can I ask you please to turn back with me in God's Word to the book of Psalms, to the Psalm 119. Our subject for this morning is taught by trouble. And while we will look at most of this little section of Psalm 119, I want us to center our thoughts upon the words of verse 71. Psalm 119, and the verse 71. And there we read, "It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn my statutes. It is good for me that I have been afflicted." With God's word open before us, can we still our hearts, please, in a word of prayer? You know and love the Lord, you pray with us. Pray the Lord will speak to our hearts as we come to His Word this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee today for Thy presence with us. We thank Thee, O God, today for Thy precious Word. And it is our prayer this morning that You would be pleased to come and speak to us out of the Word of God. We thank Thee, Lord, that this is a living Word. We praise Thee, O God, that we do not come before some dead book today, but we come before and read the living Word of the living God. And Heavenly Father, we pray that by faith, and Lord, by the anointing of the Holy Spirit, Lord, that You'd make this Word live in our hearts. Speak to us, O God, we pray. Pour out Your Spirit upon us, we pray. May we behold wondrous things out of Thy law. Come and teach us today. Come and instruct us. Lord, we pray that Thy Word will truly be the joy and the rejoicing of our hearts. So be with us just now. Give us help, O God, we pray. Give help, Lord, to this preacher. Lord, I need Thee today. I ask, O God, for that infilling of the Holy Spirit of God to preach as I ought to preach. Give, Lord, help to each one of us who'll listen. O God, we pray that our eyes, Lord, our ears, our hearts will be open and receptive to hear what God the Lord would say to us. So be with us. Continue with us now. In the Savior's name we pray. Amen. The entire 119th chapter of the book of Psalms is, as I'm sure you will know, given over almost entirely to speaking about the Word of God itself. In almost every verse, in almost 176 of those verses, there is a reference to the Word of God. It is uniquely divided up into the 22 different letters of the Hebrew alphabet. It is a literary masterpiece. And the words of our text for this morning are found in the 9th section of this book. This section that draws our attention to the 9th letter of the Hebrew alphabet, the Tav. And one of the unique aspects of the Hebrew alphabet is that each letter itself has a very special and significant meaning. And that bears true even in this 9th letter, this letter that is, Lord, at the start of this section. Because this letter, this 9th letter of the Hebrew alphabet, of itself means good. It means that which is best. And I want you to keep that in mind as we go through this study this morning. Because in this section of Psalm 119, the psalmist is dealing a lot with affliction. And he's dealing a lot with trouble. In verse 69, we see that for the writer of the Psalms, this trouble has come to him in the form of false accusations against the psalmist. He said, "The proud have forged a lie against me." It is very clear that he has been falsely accused of something and that there are rumors circulating about him, and it has clearly troubled him. "The proud have forged a lie against me." He is in affliction. He is in trouble. And yet today, as we sit in this meeting, as you sit here in this house of God this morning, You may be in affliction, may not be the same affliction that the psalmist here is talking about or that he is experiencing. But you may well be in some sort of affliction. Some sort of trouble. And the teaching of this psalm, and of course the teaching of all of Scripture, is that while those afflictions are painful and while they are hurtful, the Word of God is teaching us here is that ultimately they are for our good. Remember the meaning of the ninth letter of the Hebrew alphabet, the Teth. It means good. And so David, the writer of the psalmist, whoever it may be, is saying that this affliction, these false accusations, this trouble, whatever it may have been, is good. And that's why he's able to say in verse 71, it is good for me that I have been afflicted. It is good for me that I have been afflicted. Because folks, isn't it true that there are times when the Lord has to wash our eyes with tears and turn our lives upside down before that we can learn that such afflictions are for our good. The troubles in life are some of the greatest teachers in life. Troubles, afflictions are never things that we look for or long for. But the teaching of these verses, and indeed all of Scripture, is that those are afflictions which come our way, do so in order to teach us and to instruct us. They are for our good. We may not see it at the time, and we may not understand it. But the writer of the Psalms here is able to say that the affliction of his heart and life at that time is for his good. They've had a blessed effect. The blessed effect not of turning him away from God, but of bringing him closer to the Lord. And so, as we consider this section of Psalm 119, let's consider the subject of being taught by trouble. Taught by trouble. It seems unnatural. It seems to go against all human reasoning. But that is what this section of the psalm is teaching us. First thing I want you to notice here is the grounds of this teaching. The grounds of this teaching. Look what he says again in verse 71. It is good for me that I have been afflicted. You see, what he says there in verse 71 is not just some off-the-cuff remark. He's not just blurting something out. This is not just him feeling good and trying to have that positive mental attitude about the whole matter. It's not some sort of stoic statement of a stiff upper lip in the time of trouble. There's a very sure and a very steadfast basis for what he has said in verse 71. And I think it hinges most especially on the opening verse of this section, verse 65. How did the writer come to be able to say, it is good for me to be afflicted? Because he has already said in verse 65, thou hast dealt well with thy servant, O Lord, according unto thy word. He sees that even through the troubles and even through the difficulties, that God is good. God has been dealing well with his servant. And I want you to keep that to the forefront of your mind. The Lord hath dealt well with thy servant, even though he's been falsely accused, even though he's enduring trouble, even though he's enduring affliction that has caused him pain, yet he undergirds everything that he goes on to say with this foundational truth, the Lord has dealt well with me. He repeats the same in verse 68. He says, thou art good and doest good. You see, as the psalmist faces the afflictions of life and the troubles that he's caused to go through, he does so with the confidence and with the assurance that through it all, God is good. That God is working all of this together for good. He can't see it at the time, he can't understand it, but he has this confidence, God, you're good, and you're working this together for good. Dear Christian, this morning, when the troubles come into your life, as come they do and come they will, and when the waves of affliction beat hard upon you, remember this truth through it all, the Lord has dealt well with you. Remember that when the tears flow and your heart breaks, remember through it all, God is good. And that situation in your home, that situation in your family, that situation in your workplace, that situation in your employment, that situation in your own life personally, that is causing you to be troubled and to be afflicted, remember through it all, God is good. God is working all of this together for good. Because God is good. God is essentially good. In other words, he doesn't inherit some sort of goodness from outside of himself or derive goodness from somewhere else. He is good in himself. Thou art good, we see that in verse 68. He's talking about an absolute goodness. And therefore, because of that, because of what the psalmist says there in verse 68, that means that God is not evil in any part or in any way of his dealings with his people because of his essential and absolute goodness. He's essentially good. But he's eternally good. You see, it's not that God is good at some times and not at other times. It's not that God is good when things are going well and then when things are going against us that God is somehow bad. No, God is eternally good. You know that God is from everlasting to everlasting, and every aspect of his nature, every aspect and every attribute of his character has that same eternality about them. He is eternally good, just as he is eternally holy, just as he is eternally just. So he is eternally good. Eternally good through all the generations. The psalmist said back in Psalm 34 and the verse 8, O taste and see that the Lord is good. And it means a perpetual goodness. It means a continual goodness. You see, it's not that there's a variation in his goodness. There's a variation in our goodness, isn't there? Times will be good and times will not be good. And times will deal well with people, and there'll be times we won't deal well with people. But God is not only essentially good, but eternally good. As the psalmist said in Psalm 100, the Lord is good, his mercy is from everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. He's eternally good. And this affliction that the psalmist was going through, he realized that through it all, God was essentially and eternally good. But God is also entirely good. By that I mean that his goodness extends to all of his works and all of his ways. The goodness of God is in all of God's works and all of God's ways. God is good in everything that he does. Ehud, the great theologian, said that that is an infinite goodness, a glorious perfection, which preeminently characterizes his nature. God is good. And folks, we know that, don't we? We believe the Scripture teaches that. But it's an altogether different thing to believe it whenever we are in affliction and trouble. Whenever we're going through some sort of pain or heartache in our life, we cannot understand at times, why? How is this for our good? But whatever you're going through or whatever you will go through, remember this. Remember what the psalmist was able to say concerning his God. Thou art good and doest good. He's not just that he is good, but everything that he does is good. You may not see it today. And you may not be able to grasp it today. But your affliction, your trouble that you're going through it all, God is good. God is good. Before we leave this point, notice something very important that the psalmist says at the end of verse 65. Thou hast dealt well with thy servant, O Lord, according unto thy word. This trouble, this affliction that he's passing through, it's in accordance with the will of God for his life. The Lord has planned it so. His affliction was according to the word of God, according to the will of God, according to what God had said would happen. And you see, folks, whenever we get a full grasp of the nature of God and see how God deals with his people, that he does so for our good, that he's not working against us to bring us down or to cause us to trip up, but that all of his plans for our lives, all of his purposes for our lives, they are according to his plan, his purpose, and everything he does is good, then it will bring great confidence and assurance to our hearts and lives. Remember what David was able to say. As for God, his way is perfect. His way is good, even though for David at times it meant so much trouble and so much heartache. Yet he was able to say, through it all, God's way is perfect, God is good, God is dealing with me according to his goodness. Thou hast dealt well with thy servant, O Lord, according unto thy word. You see, the truth concerning the nature of God gives a whole different perspective upon our troubles and upon our afflictions. From a human point of view, times of trouble never seem to be good for us. Times of affliction only seem to be against us. But through this trouble and through this affliction, the psalmist was being taught that God is good in all of his ways. Thou hast dealt well with thy servant. God is good. Everything he does. There's the grounds of this teaching, but I want us to come and see, secondly, there's the gain from this teaching. There's the gain from this teaching. He says in verse 71, let me remind you, he says, it is good for me that I have been afflicted. He has gained from this teaching. He has gained from this trouble. He has been taught as a result of it. Now, a time of affliction always seems to us to be a time of loss, a time of personal loss perhaps, a loss of our health, perhaps a loss of our families, our abilities, our minds, a loss of our bodily strength. Afflictions often seem to be a time of loss. But the reality is that they are intended to be a time of gain. You see, the affliction that the psalmist experienced here, he saw it as a time of gain, a time when he was taught certain things by the Lord. And a time that if he had not experienced affliction, he would never have known the deep meaning of. What did he gain from this teaching? What did he gain from this trouble? He gained, first of all, a firmness of his faith. A firmness of his faith. Look at verse 66. Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I have believed thy commandments. Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I have believed thy commandments. Here he is indicating, he's stating to us that these troubles have been the means in the hand of God of firming him in his faith. He has been enabled to grow in grace, that he has trusted the Word of God, that he loves the Word of God, and what a gain that is. Teach me good judgment and knowledge. He's longing to learn more about the things of God. He's longing to grow in the things of God. He's longing to grow in his Christian life and in his Christian experiences. And folks, that is one of the overriding desires of the Lord in everything that he does, is that we would be firmer and stronger in our faith. It is true, and has been well said, that the troubles of life, they can either make the Christian bitter or they can make the Christian better. And sadly, when troubles come, some of God's people get very bitter. Some of God's people get very hard against the Lord and question the Lord. And they run from the Lord, and to such an extent they deny their faith, they lose out in their walk with God, thinking all that will help. But of course it never does. Jacob, a man who spent so much of his early Christian life running from God, trying to engineer everything his own way, living in his own strength, he came to that time, that place, Peniel, when God broke him. And God strengthened him in his faith, and he clung to the Lord. That was a good trouble, because it strengthened him in his faith. And the psalmist here is able to say that through the troubles of life, he has been taught to love the Lord more and taught to love the Word of God more. Oh, let the times of trouble be times of trusting. Let your faith grow even in the darkness of affliction. Don't run from God. Don't deny your faith. Don't give up in your living for God through the troubles and afflictions, although hard they may be. Let those afflictions and those troubles be times when you grow in grace. I can say without any hesitation today that if I were to ask every single Christian in this meeting, when were those times when your faith was particularly strengthened? It wasn't during the times when everything was going well and the sun was shining. Your faith was strengthened in those times when you were afflicted, when you were in trouble, when some pain came into your heart and life, you trusted him more. That's a gain. Not only was there the gain of the firmness of his faith, but there's also the gain of the closeness to the Lord. You look at verse 67. Verse 67, he says, before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now have I kept thy word. Verse 67 is a verse of contrasts. He's speaking about that time before he was afflicted. What did he do? He went astray. When everything was going well in his life, when everything from a human perspective was good in his life, yet he acknowledges that was the time when he went astray, when he followed the Lord afar off. But now in this time of trouble, I have kept thy word. He has been brought closer to the Lord. In Psalm 73, one of the writers of the psalm, a man by the name of Asaph, has been in great turmoil and trouble in his mind. And he can't just reason it all out in his mind why the righteous are being persecuted and the ungodly are being exalted. Then he comes to that point when he's brought into the sanctuary of the Lord and brought to see things from a divine perspective. But turn back to Psalm 73 and look what he says. The very end of the psalm. Psalm 73 in the verse 28, he says, "But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord that I may declare all thy works." It was good for him to have been in that time of trouble and turmoil in his heart and mind because he was brought nearer to the Lord. In fact, if you read the opening parts of Psalm 73, you'll see here was a man who was almost giving up, throwing in the towel. And yet, through the trouble and the turmoil in his heart and his mind at that time, he is brought closer to the Lord and he's able to say, "It's good for me. It's good for me to draw near to God." And back in Psalm 119, in the verse 67, And the psalmist is saying the same thing. Different words, but the same thing. "Before the trouble, I wandered. But during the trouble, I was brought closer to the Lord." How blessed it is to be drawn close to the Lord, particularly in the storms of life. To hear His voice and to feel His presence right in the very center of your trouble and in your affliction, it's a blessed thing. Because the nearness and the closeness of the Lord, His presence at that time, raises your soul to an altogether different level. And as your soul is brought near to Him, as you feel His presence, you learn to trust Him more. The hymn writer was able to say, "Things that once were wild alarms cannot now disturb my rest. Closed in everlasting arms, pillowed on the loving breast. Oh, to lie forever here." Doubt, care, and self resign while He whispers in my ear, "I am His. He is mine." Brought close to the Lord even through the times of trouble. That's a gain. One further gain from this trouble was the boldness that he had for the Lord now. You look at verse 69. And in this verse, as we've already pointed out, He states the accusations that have been made against him, the pride of forged a lie against me, "But I will keep thy precepts with my whole heart." Here's a man who has been accused of whatever it is he's been accused of falsely and wrongly. But he's not going to give up. He says, "I'm going to keep thy precepts with my whole heart." He's bold for the Lord. He realized that the Word of God was his only strength, his only support. He loves the Lord more than ever before. He loves the Scriptures more than ever before. He goes to the Word of God with a greater passion, a greater hunger. I don't know. We can only spiritually speculate. But perhaps before this time of affliction, his study, his meditation of the law of God had become perhaps a little stagnant, a little stale. And in the good times, he allowed himself to drift from the Word of God. Yet now he loves the Scriptures. Now he loves going to the Word of God because there he sees Christ, learn more about him. Look what he says in the previous sections, verse 49. He says, "Remember the word unto thy servant, upon which thou hast caused me to hope. This is my comfort and my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me." What boldness now he has for the Lord, living for the Lord, even in the hardness. "I will keep thy precepts with my whole heart." Whatever you do through the troubles and trials of life, don't wander from the Lord and don't wander from your reading and meditating upon the Word of God. It will never help you. What gain the psalmist had as a result of this trouble, there was a firmness of his faith, there was a closeness to the Lord, there was a boldness for the Lord. There's the grounds of this teaching, the gain from this teaching, but finally, as we close, I want you to see the grace. The grace as a result of this teaching. How was it that the psalmist was able to say in verse 71, "It is good for me that I have been afflicted"? Because he was some super Christian? No. It was by the grace of God. It was the grace of God that brought him to rest and to lean and to trust upon the Lord, even in the midst of the storms and the troubles of life. It is only by the grace of God that he could make such a statement in verse 71. "It is good for me that I have been afflicted," because I tell you this, the old man would have said within him, "This is against you. This is not going to help you. God is against you now. Those people are telling all sorts of lies and spreading all sorts of rumors against you. God's against you. Everything's against you. Give up. Deny your faith." That's what the natural man would say. But it's by the grace of God that he was able to say, "It's good for me that I have been afflicted." You see, it is by the grace of God that the psalmist did not harbor ill thoughts against the Lord when the afflictions came. It was by the grace of God that he was able to overcome them and ride them out, knowing that he was being taught by God. He didn't harbor any resentment against the Lord as a result of this. It's all by the grace of God. That's why we should pray every day for even greater grace. To live for God. Dear believer, when the troubles come and they pile up and the tears flow and the questions increase and you wonder why, always remember God is good in this. He's not sending affliction our way in order to make us miserable or to bring us down. The purpose of God in all of our trouble and in all of our trials is our edifying, is our building up, is for our blessing. And all of that is by and through the grace of God. Look where this grace has brought him to, the verse 72 at the end of this section. "The law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver." There's a man who's full of grace. The law of thy mouth, the word of God, is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. He sees the preciousness, the value, the beauty, the worth of the word of God. As a result of all this, he's being conformed more and more into the image of Christ. We don't have time to bring out that truth. But through all of this, he has been more Christ-like in his afflictions. In Hebrews chapter 5, in the verse 8 and 9, we read that though he were a son, speaking of Christ, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. No man has ever suffered like Christ. Christ had all manner of false accusations made against him. And yet in his humanity, we read there in Hebrews 5 that he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. You see, whenever we are brought closer to the Lord and love the word of God more, we are being made more like him. Conformed more into the image of God's dear Son, being more Christ-like. Surely that should be the desire of every one of our hearts. And as we consider Christ and all that he had to suffer and all the afflictions that he endured as he walked on this scene of time, we know one thing, that they were only but for a time. They were temporary. Peter, writing to a people who were afflicted under great persecution, he said, Though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, for a season. Just for a time. And remember that our troubles, our afflictions, they are temporary. That lovely, precious little phrase that we read so often in Scripture, and it came to pass. The troubles come to pass, they don't come to stay. Because one day, we will leave this world of trouble behind. And when we reach glory, and we'll be able to look back with gladness and really be able to say, as the psalmist said in verse 65, thou hast dealt well with thy servant. Job, who suffered greatly as well, afflicted in his family, afflicted in his finances, afflicted more than we have ever been afflicted. Yet he was able to say things too wonderful for me, which I knew not. Dear afflicted saint, this morning, allow the troubles to teach you more about the Lord that you serve, to trust him more, and to know that one day we'll see him face to face. We'll see the face of the one who gave his life for us. We see those scars in his hands, those scars that were there for our salvation. For now, we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. And we'll be able to say, it was worth it all. Worth it all. Every affliction, every trial that we had to endure, it was worth it all. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. He was taught by trouble. And may each one who knows Christ as Savior, through the troubles, may we learn more about Him, understand Him more, be brought closer to Him. As we close this morning, let me ask you, is Christ your Savior today? In your time of trouble and affliction and heartache, where do you go to? Well, you might run to the things of this world to find some sort of temporary relief, but they'll never last. We'll get to Christ today. Get to Him today. He's a friend that sticks closer than any brother. He's one who'll never leave you, never forsake you. It is good for me that I've been afflicted, that I might learn Thy statutes. Let's bow in prayer.